desire your prayers tonight. I feel like sometimes I hear some of the brothers, the Lord gave me a message 2 months ago to give to Monarch, but that's not the case with me. The Lord gave me a message this afternoon, so I want to preach it, be faithful to the Lord. I have enjoyed myself being here. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness to us. And desire that you'd pray for us and with us. We realize that we cannot do anything in and of ourselves. We do it. It's no need in us being here. And so pray for us. The thought that I have on my heart today is the power of persuasion. When we think about persuasion and how in everyday things we're persuading individuals, we're trying to convince people of certain things. And all of us have some level of the power of persuasion. And when it comes to the gospel message, what we find, and I heard a minister say this one time, he said the power of persuasion is greater than the power of force. Now, what I've learned in my years of living is that you cannot make anybody do anything. I do very good to make myself do anything. And he's the person that I find the most difficult person I've ever dealt with in my life. And I've been a pastor for about 33 years or so. But the person that I find the hardest to control is the man that you're looking at. The man that I look at in the mirror. And oftentimes I can't do it on my own. And I've come to the conclusion that it takes God to do it for you. And so you have to submit yourself to the Lord. And I've learned that in raising children, that at a certain age when they're young, you can make them comply with you. But when they get a little older and they get out of the house, you can't make them do anything that they really don't want to do. All right? You can't make your wife do it. So the only person that you can do is yourself. But the gospel message, what we do with the gospel, the purpose of preaching and teaching is to lay out an argument and to prove the point. All right? And so it's through the scripture, through history, through experience. So we can't just prove the point in our society. We can't just prove the point by my experience. So in other words, I've got an experience where my life has been changed, but there's a whole lot of people whose lives has been changed. The people that went to the AA meetings, their lives have been changed, but there's no change as far as the depths of their soul. So the only thing that can change a man or a woman or a boy or girl is the Spirit of the Lord. So our job as a minister of the gospel, as those that are sharing the gospel with other people, our job is to try as best we can to persuade somebody to live for the Lord. I want to read a few scriptures. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians and pray for us that we'll be able to share in the way that the Lord would have us to. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and I want to start at the 18th verse. If you have it, you can read it, please. If someone will give my wife she's a good reader for me, and she knows what I do. So if we can start at the 18th verse of the first chapter.
For the preaching of the cross.
Preaching of the cross.
Is to them that perish foolishness.
Is to them that perish foolishness.
But unto us which are saved. It is the power of God. For it is written. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise.
And will bring to nothing.
The understanding of the prudent.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe?
Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish
the wisdom of this world?
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God.
It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
For the Jews require a sign,
and the Greeks seek after wisdom.
But we preach Christ crucified.
Unto the Jews a stumbling block,
and to the Greeks foolishness.
But unto them which are called,
both Jews and Greeks,
Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men,
and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now here it puts it in three categories here, and I want to give us a lesson as we deal with this, the power of persuasion. So he says, first of all, the Jews require a sign. So that's one category of people that we're having to deal with. People that have some kind of a history about Christianity. They know something about this Jesus that we're talking about. And their intent is, I want to hear what you got to say, but I'm not really convinced. I need to see something. So one of the things that these individuals are concerned about are their emotions and their senses. So they're dealing with emotions a lot, and they're dealing with senses. Now, the reason that we need to know that is because these are the people that we are dealing with on a regular basis. So if I am going to convince these people, if I am going to persuade them that the best way, that this gospel way that I'm talking about, and what I want to make certain that we understand is the gospel is about, it's not about pressing the issue, because I can't force the issue on somebody. I've got to just present it, and present it in a logical way, in a way that makes them understand it, and a way that's attractive to them, to the point that they can accept this that we have, all right? And so that's one of the individuals. So we'll put the Jews here, and then what it talks about is the Greek. So what we have here with the Greeks is, it's got to make sense to me. It's got to be logical in some kind of a way, but we have a problem here. Because we're talking about logic here, but we're talking about the cross as well, and it's talking about the foolishness of God. So what you're saying to me, this is what the Greek people are saying, and we are saying is, listen, you're saying to me that this man died on a cross 2,000 years ago. He died on some cross, and he claims to be of a virgin birth. And he claims that he was a son of God. He died on this cross. Blood came out of his side. And now it saves me, right? Well, that makes no sense, right? To the natural person, so the Greeks think this is foolishness. This is not something that I want to embrace because it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't appeal to my logic. It doesn't appeal to my reason. And so what we have to do is we have to understand the argument. If you know anything about debate, I did debate when I was in school and whatnot. And one of the things about debate is, I do not believe in debating the scriptures. I want you to understand that. There's a difference. I'm not going to argue with you about what I believe. I'm not going to have this argument. But if you want to have a simple dialogue about what I believe and why I believe it, and let me say this, I believe all of us should have a clear understanding of why we believe what we believe. All right? Because if we do not have a clear understanding of what we believe and why we believe, somebody is going to uproot us. That's right, yes. So here's the point. So when I come to them and I believe, yes, I believe this farcical thing that you're saying, but I believe it because there is a historical evidence on it, right? Number one, there was this man called Jesus, and it's all down through the annals of time that you can research him and find out that he actually existed, that he actually died on a cross, and then he actually rose again the third day. So that is not just some thing that we believe in Christianity. You can go to the history books, and you can find out that that actually happened, right? Am I correct in that? All right. All right, so we can reason in that way. So we can say, okay, so the Greeks, you don't think that this is a logical thing for me to believe, but let me tell you also what happened is that this man, it may be foolish to you, but it's not foolish to me. And the reason it's not foolish, and I have to say this because I'm a person that you need to convince me on certain things. I'm not a hard-headed person. Some people feel like I am, but some people, I've never really been called that. But here's my point. I want you to convince me in a way that makes me understand. And once I'm persuaded, I won't go back on that. So if you persuade me, you have the responsibility to persuade me about this particular thing, and you tell me about this Jesus, you tell me what he can do, you can tell me the historical facts, you can tell me that he rose again the third day, then that piques my interest. And now what I find out is when I embrace him, let me try this. Let me at least try it. And I'm one of those people who I'll try something. There are some people who eat the same thing, right? I happen not to be that kind of person. If there's something on the menu that I've never heard, octopus or some exotic thing, I'm going to try it just to taste it. I may not like it, and I've been disappointed many, many times. But let me tell you what I learned. When I learned, my mother and my father, they passed it down to me. I heard it. I heard the preacher preach it when I was younger. When I was young, and then some, to the point, I came to the place in my own heart and mind that I want to try this. And you know why I wanted to try it? Because there's two things that's working. There's a drawing that there's something in me that's working to say there's something true about what that person is saying about this Jesus character. And there's something that's drawing me to this Jesus character to find out a little bit more information about him and to determine whether or not this is really something that will work for me. And so what I have to understand and what we all have to understand is that there are various kinds of people in the world that we're going to have to minister to. And we're going to have to be in a position that we have an understanding. So going back to the point of debate, one of the things that we have to do, we have to understand when we were doing it, and we have to understand both sides of the issue. We have to understand the affirmative. We have to understand those that go against it, so that once I understand that, because when we were doing the debate and whatnot, what I learned is that this time I might have to go in the affirmative, and the next time I might have to go in the negative. So I had to have a clear understanding of both sides, and I had to argue both sides. All right? So in the same way, we must have a clear understanding of what we believe and why we believe it, or else our salvation is going to be uprooted. And this is what's happening to a lot of people. Now, what we have to understand also is we live in an age of an explosion of information. I can go on the internet. I can go on my little phone right now, and I can hear all kinds of doctrines. I can listen to people that are very persuasive. And then I can look and I can weigh that against what we teach here, and then I have to know whether or not what we teach works or not, not just for us, but for the world. We have to understand it's not just about us and this little group of people that are right here. This is something that goes beyond us, far beyond us. Yes. Now, there's another scripture I want us to get a hold of. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I want to start at the 19th verse. I want to read a little bit there. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Let's start there.
For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all.
I made myself servant of all.
That I might gain the more.
That I might gain the more.
And unto the Jews.
Unto the Jews.
I became as a Jew. That I might gain the Jews.
That I might gain the Jews.
To them that are under the law.
To them that are under the law.
As under the law.
As under the law.
That I might gain them that are under the law.
That are under the law.
To them that are without law.
To them that are without law.
As without law, being not without law to God.
Law of God.
But under the law to Christ.
That I might gain them that are without law.
To the weak.
To the weak.
I became as weak.
That I might gain the weak.
I am made
and I am
all,
made
things, to
all
men,
things to all men.
That I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. That I might be partaker thereof with you.
So what Paul is saying here, he says it doesn't matter what kind of person that I come in contact with. I empathize with that person. I try to understand. This is what he's saying, if I can put it in modern words. I try to understand where they're coming from. To the weak, I become as weak. I understand what their position. So one of the things that we have to do is understand where somebody else is coming from before we can ever persuade them to where we think, believe, by the help and the grace of God, they need to be. All right? So we have to understand where they're coming from. To the weak, I became as weak. To the Jew, I became as a Jew. I understood how a Jew thinks, how a Jew understands, how a Jew looks at the scripture. And once I understand that, then I have somewhat that I can present the gospel to them in a more succinct and in a more practical way for them, right? Now, I'll share something with you. I moved to California about 2 years ago. I grew up in the Midwest. I was born and raised in Oklahoma. And then I moved to Texas, and I lived there for about 30 years. I lived up in Washington State for about 4 years during that time, but the rest of the time was right here in the Midwest. So if you ask me what kind of a thought process I have, my thought process really is a Midwestern thought process. We're the Bible Belt. There's a lot of churches. I counted as we were coming from town, there were at least 10 churches coming down the road. I didn't have to turn. I didn't have to do anything. I just basically drove down the highway and counted up the churches. A lot of churches there. You don't see so much of that in California, all right? But what I learned when I went to California, and by the way, so people will know that I'm adjusting and I like California, all right? But I learned something about Californians, and it's not good or bad. They are different. They don't have the Midwestern mindset. And so therefore, what the Lord showed me, and one of the wonderful things about COVID was, if you can pull out something that's beneficial about it, one of the wonderful things is it helped me to kind of settle down. Here I am, ready to pawn at the gates, ready to open the door. Let's get out of here. Let's go where the Lord wants us to go. But the Lord said, no. I want you to sit right here, just like he did Ezekiel. Remember that? He said, I want you to sit here for 7 days, and I don't want you to say anything. I want you to see. I want you to set where they said. I want you to understand them. I want you to understand their psyche. I want you to understand all the things that they're having to deal with that you don't know about being from the Bible Belt. The things that you don't have a clarity and an understanding. Oh, we want to put a label on various individuals, wherever that may be. We want to label them, and we've got to be careful about that because we don't understand them. I remember when people from California, by the way, would come to Texas and they were saying, oh, I'm so surprised that when I came to Texas, I didn't see any big cowboy hats and big buckles and cowboy boots. Well, we don't dress like that in Texas. There are a few people that dress like that, but for the most part, your expectation, your prejudice of what a Texan looks like is not what reality is. So we've got to be very careful, because what we have to understand before I can convince and persuade somebody about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, I have to understand where they're coming from. I have to understand their issues and their problems, and I think sometimes we don't do that. I don't think sometimes we take the time to understand where people are coming from. And how can I truly convince you that the best thing for you to do is live for the Lord if I don't understand your issues? If I don't understand the things that are peculiar to you, I've got to understand those things, right? And once I understand those things, then I present to you. What did the Lord say to Ezekiel? Sit where they sat, and I don't want you to say anything. I want you to just watch. And then what happened? What Ezekiel did, he went in the heat of his spirit. I'm not saying that that's what I did, because I didn't. But Ezekiel went in the heat of his spirit. I've got some things that the Lord told me to tell you, and I'm going to tell them to you. I don't care what you say, how you feel about it, how dare you go against what God has said to you. And then what the Lord said, I don't want you to say anything. I gave that message to you, but I don't want you to go over here. I want you to sit right down here, and I don't want you to say anything. You know, the Lord tells us that sometimes. I don't want you to say anything to those people. Well, they need to be told. Well, maybe they do, but maybe you're not the one to tell them. And maybe this is not the time for you to do it. Because sometimes what we can do is we can actually turn people off by saying too much too soon. All right? And you got to bring them along. You can eat an elephant, but you can't eat it all at the same time. Right? We can't eat today what we need for tomorrow. We've got to eat it today. We've got to do it. We've got to understand that. And so the Lord helped. So when Lord helped Ezekiel to see this, and when Ezekiel saw it, what did the Lord told him to do? Now I want you to speak. Do you suppose that what he had to say was a little bit different this time? Maybe it was the same thing that the Lord had told him before, but it was a little bit different this time, wasn't it? And now he had the ability to persuade them that the best thing for them to do was to live for the Lord. We have the gospel message. I believe that we have the truth of God's word, or I would not be here. All right? I believe that this is the truth, and I believe there's a purity in the doctrine of the Church of God. It is not something that was just passed down to me, but I learned and I understand not just truth, but the personification of truth. Who truth is. So what we're doing, we're not trying to persuade people, oh, this is the truth, and oh, I just want the truth to be pure. I do too, but let me tell you, I want to show you something more. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth. So I want to point you to the Lord, not to a tradition, not to a church, not to a group of people. As a result, that is a secondary result of what I'm pointing you to, but I want you to know Jesus. He's the one that died for you. None of us died for you. Jesus is the one that died for you. So the personification of truth, the one that hung on that cross, I want to introduce him to you tonight. If you don't know him, if for some reason I'm not quite there, because there are some things that I don't quite understand, the Lord says, all right, I understand that you're in maybe one of those categories, maybe one of those places that you're in. But I want to say this. One of the things that we have to do is we have to lift up the Lord, saints. We have to. And I think that too often, if we're not careful, we'll lift ourselves up. We'll lift up the Church of God, the Evening Light Saints. We'll lift up. And I'm not against us having the understanding that God wants us to have. But I want us to understand that there's something greater than just what we see. Amen. That the Lord is working with us. And that we have to, first of all, be persuaded fully in our own mind that this is right. And if we're not persuaded fully in our own mind that this is right, we're not going to be able to do it. And we're not going to be able to do it for very long. But let me tell you, y'all know my story. I've told it many, many times. And what I want to say is I had to get it for myself. It had to be something personal. I had to know Jesus, not just the Church of God. I had to know something that was greater, that was more wonderful, a personal experience when none of y'all were around, when nobody was there, when no one understood what I was going through. I needed the experience of knowing the one that knew all about me, the one that was concerned about everything that concerns me. That's who I want to know. That's who I want you to know. So what do I introduce you to? I introduce you to the Lord. I introduce you to truth. I introduce you to the personification of what truth really is. May the Lord help us. I trust that you can understand it and that you can see. So the scripture says in one place, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And what is that? There is a magnetism. There is something that the Lord says, the Spirit of the Lord, what the Scripture talks about, the Spirit of the Lord has appeared to every man, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, they can live righteously, soberly, and godly right here in this present world. So here's the point that we have to understand. Here's the point. Jesus has already appeared to the person that you're about to try to persuade. He's already dealt with them. He's already talked to them. So you know what your responsibility is to go somewhere and find out what Jesus has already said to them. And then once you find out what Jesus has already said to him, then maybe the Lord just wants you to say, here, I don't got much to say, but I just want to give you a big hug. I want you to know that the Lord loves you today. That may be all that the Lord wants you to say, but you need to get it from him because he's the one that's really doing the persuading. It's the Spirit of the Lord. So what happens is there's this magnetism in us that the Lord is talking. The Lord has talked to every person, whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you're a child. If you're at the age of understanding, the Lord talks to you. And then when we have an altar call, when the preacher preaches, we have a clearer understanding of what the Lord is talking about. Because have you ever been in a situation where the preacher is preaching about something that you talked about yesterday? You don't know how many times that the folks have come up, it sounded like you were in my bedroom last night. Well, I wasn't, but the Holy Ghost was. And if I'm in contact with the Holy Ghost, he's in your bedroom, and then he tells me what to say. Now that's that drawing. So we lift up Christ in our messages. Not just in our messages, but in our lives, we lift the Lord up. And as we lift him up, there's this magnetism that if you put a magnet here and then you put some whatever here, there's a drawing. It can just pull it to that. And that's what we have to do. That's what it talks about. That when I lift up the Lord and I'm lifting him up, then he's going to draw all men up to that point because he's already talking to them. It's not something new that you're going to have to do. Oh, Brother Darrell, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to really labor. No, the Lord's already done the work. I am just to get inside of his work and to allow him to get in, that he allows me to get into the flow of it. That makes sense?
Yes.
All right. So, here's another one. Let's go to Isaiah 1, verse 18. Very familiar text of Scripture. Read it, please.
Come now, and let us reason together,
come now,
saith
let
the
us
Lord.
Reason together,
saith the
saith
Lord.
The Lord.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as
they
snow.
They shall be as white as snow.
Though they be red like
though
crimson,
they be red like crimson,
they shall be as wool. If ye be willing
and
obedient,
ye shall eat the good of the land.
But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword.
For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So we have an argument here. So here's the situation. The Lord is saying, come here. Oh, you don't agree with what these people are talking about? You don't agree with that? I've been in that place. So for some reason, people think that if you're a preacher, that from the time that you were birthed to the time that you... To right now, you never had any questions or doubts or issues in your mind about what you believe. Anybody like that? I can't raise my hand, all right? But here's the point. He says, come, let's reason together. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your side of it. I want to hear your argument. Lay out your argument just as plain as you can. Tell me all about, but Lord, I don't like the do's and the don'ts. I don't like the restrictions. I don't like all that. All right, let's talk about that. But here's the point that I want to make to us. Let's talk about it. Allow the Lord to talk to you about it. I remember that there were some things, and I've said it. Someone brought it back to my mind the other day. I remember there were some things when I really started living for the Lord in my late, probably in college, and I really wanted to just give it all and see. And there were some things I didn't agree with and things I didn't understand. And what did I do? I wrote them down on a piece of paper and put them in my wallet. I kind of forgot about them, but I was saying, Lord, I don't understand this. And I don't agree with this particular place that the church is at and all that. I said that to myself. I didn't say it to anybody else. No one else knew it. Just me. It was a personal thing, but the Lord began to talk to me, and the Lord began to deal with me. And then he called me to the ministry, and there were still some unanswered questions on my little list. And I'm preaching. And so the Lord says to me, and I'm just telling you where I am, where I was. And so the Lord talked to me, and he said, I said, Lord, I can't preach on these things because I just don't see them. I don't see them like I need to see them. So I wouldn't preach for years. I didn't preach until the Lord gave me clarity and understanding in the areas that I needed clarity and understanding. Some things I was too tight on, and some things I wasn't tight enough on. And the Lord talks to us about that. So he says, come. All right, sit down. I want to talk to you. Let us reason together. Talk to me. Let me give you the rebuttal. Well, Lord, this is my issue. And I want to say this. If there's somebody in this audience tonight that's dealing with something like that, and the Lord's talked to you, and there's some things about your life and some things about the reason that you're holding back from the Lord, he wants to talk to you about them. He wants to ask you, all right, explain it to me and give it to me as best you can. And once you give it to him as best you can, set and be quiet and listen to what he says. Because he's going to talk back to you, or he wouldn't have said. He's come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, if you be willing and obedient. And then he goes on and he said, all right, now there are some benefits to your obedience, and then there are some consequences to disobedience. If you're obedient, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to bless you in this way. And there are some things that we have to say to our children. Oh, we have to say to them, you know, when they're 10 or 11 years old, that you can just say, listen, that's way above your pay grade right now. We're not going to talk about that. You're just going to do it because daddy says do it. All right? There's a time for that. But then at some point when he gets 18, I can't say that anymore. When he gets 20, I can't say that anymore. I need an answer in order to persuade him to have a clarity and an understanding that, all right, here's what your issue is, and here, let's talk about that. Let's sit down, and you tell me why you don't want to do it, and then I'll explain to you. The Lord is like that, isn't he? He's going to explain it to you, and at some point he's going to say, there are going to be some things that you do not understand, and there are some things still about the scriptures that I don't understand. I just have to suspend my judgment on them, and I have to say, Lord, you know what's best. And my experience has been that the Lord has always taken care of me. The Lord has always taken care of the situation. Come, let us reason together. It's an invitation to talk about it. I'll talk to you about it. I'll let you disagree with me. There's another scripture. I believe this in Isaiah 41. It says, produce your cause. Saith the Lord, bring forth your strong reasons. I want you to argue with me. I'm going to put that in quotations. I want to hear your argument. Let's put it that way. I want to hear your argument. And the Lord loves you enough just for you to sit down and say, all right, I don't agree with that, Lord. I don't agree with all of this. But let me tell you what I've learned. Here's where my experience has been. I learned that when I submit to the Lord, there's nothing better. My life is much better as a result of that. You know, I, as I say, I'm in California, and people often stop me in California. They think something's wrong with my head for going out there, as opposed to, oh, things are a lot easier and simpler in Texas than they were. Financially, I was much better off than going to California. But you know what the Lord does? The Lord takes care of you. Amen. If you're going to step out on faith, there's something solid under you. And I've learned that every time, and the Lord's shown me little bitty things in my life from a long time ago to now, and the Lord says, if I took care of you then, I'm going to take care of you now. And he's doing that. All right, let's go a little further. All right, let's go to Acts 18 and verse 4. If you have it, read. I want to say, while we're getting that scripture, I want to say that there are a lot of things on, we're talking about the information age, and there's a lot of things about the information age, the internet, that is affecting us spiritually. You've probably heard me say a thousand times, I am not a social media guy. And there's a reason that I'm not a social media guy. I don't really like it, and I think it takes up way too much of our time. But I am relenting in the fact that, you know, we're on social media in order to broadcast during this COVID thing, right? And so there are some things. I'm not here to say, you know, social media is bad and you shouldn't do it, but I do say that you should be very careful about what you do on that. You tell too much of your business. Have you ever noticed how people are there's a platform and they want to tell everybody everything, and you know that your life isn't like that. That's the best pictures that are. When I snap a picture and we, what do you call it, tag you, and you want us to take the tag off because you look bad? Have you ever felt that way? That's an ugly picture of me. Well, that's really how I see you. And all these washed out pictures, really? All these washed out pictures, and it seemed like, have you ever looked at somebody's profile picture and you're like, who is that? I know it says such and such up at the top, but they're all, it don't even look like them because they got the light shining in the best of light. This is what's happening in the world. It's unrealistic. And we've got to be very careful about that, don't we? Because what happens is, oh, that's a cute picture of her. And then I want to do the same thing. We're influenced by one another. We're persuaded what other people are doing, and I'm going to do the same thing. You know, the fact of the matter is that we dress like everybody else. We want to do those kinds of things. Lord, help us to know how to pull apart. I'm not saying that we're supposed to dress like we did in 1970, but, you know, it is coming back. We'll be doing it. If we're not doing it now, we'll be doing it in a couple of years. We'll be dressing just like we did back then, right? But I know that there's some influence that other that the society has on us. And I'm saying the scripture tells us very plainly. It says, using this world but not abusing it. So we can use the world. We can enjoy the things of the world. We can enjoy even the fashions of this world, all right, within reason. And so within that reason, then we have a clarity and an understanding of what God is requiring of us. And another thing that I want to say, when we teach what we teach, we have to teach the principle of it. All right? Principle of it. Because if you go and we talk about modesty of dress, for instance, or whatnot, you go to India, there are some things that they do that they think that some of the things that we do are immodest, and we think that maybe some of the things that they do may be a little bit different as well, right? Or wherever it is. But what we understand is when we understand the principle of whatever it is that we're teaching, when we understand the underlying principle of it, then we can apply it anywhere. It doesn't matter where it is. And that is what I think that we maybe have failed a little bit on in applying the principle. This is what the saints do. Well, okay, why do the saints do that? I need to know why the saints do it. All right? And in order for me to be persuaded, I need to know why the saints do it. So explain it to them. Sit down, take the time. Maybe have some lessons on Sunday at night or Sunday school or something to explain why. And don't, be careful how you explain it. All right? Now, let me say that, because if you go, you convert from one state to another state, some of the things that I can say in Texas, I can't say in California. Oh, Brother Darrell, saints are saints anywhere. People are people anywhere. But let me tell you, they're different. People are different. And maybe some of the things that they say in California, they come to Texas, oh, that wouldn't go so well in Texas. Let me tell you, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I am telling you, to the Jew I become as a Jew. To those that are weak as the weak. I have to understand and have an empathy and an understanding of the psyche of the people that the Lord is allowing me to minister to, or else I'll never be effective. And you won't either. Lord, help us. And we can go to a little alcove somewhere in the United States, and maybe up in the Appalachians, or maybe in New Orleans, or maybe somewhere. We have to understand those people before we can clearly understand how to convince them of the gospel message. Lord, help us. Y'all still with me? All right. Let's see here. Where were we? Acts 18 and 4. Okay, read it, please.
And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath.
Yes.
And persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads.
I am clean.
From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles.
So here's what he said. He said, and he reasons in the synagogues every Sabbath. So he went there, and he didn't just get up and preach. All right? He didn't just get up and preach and then walk away and leave the people. They had questions about what he was preaching and what he was saying. And there was some debate, if you're going to allow me to say it. And I think that when I talk about debate, I'm not talking about we having an argument about our positions. All right, but there is some reasoning. So when I think about reasoning in my own mind, I think, have you ever said something to yourself? Well, you know, if I do this, then they're going to do that. And if they do that, then I'm going to do this over here. And then this is, well, you're reasoning with yourself. You're coming up with reasons as to why you want to do what you're doing and why it would be best. And you have this in the confines of your little mind. And it's an environment that is sterile. You're the only one that can get in there. You've cleaned it out. You washed it. You've got all the scenarios all lined up and in a row. And then when you get in the real world, and it doesn't even go like that. And now you don't know what to do. But here's what I want to say to us. We have to reason. Paul reasoned with them in the synagogues on a day-to-day basis. May the Lord help us to know the scriptures better. I'm finding that I don't know them as well as I need to know them. All right? And so what we have to do, we have to reach out, we have to study, we have to take the time. Lord, give me the clarity and understanding of why I'm saying this and why we believe this, why I do this. And the Lord helps us, and once I'm persuaded, then I can persuade someone else. Does that make sense? All right, let's go a little further here. And let's see, Paul in the 17th chapter, let's go to the 17th chapter and the second verse. Yes.
Went in unto them. And three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures.
He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures.
Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. And risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ.
Now, what we cannot do, as I said earlier, we cannot base our salvation just merely on our experience. Well, the Lord changed me, and he did change me, and that's a good place to start. But I need to go to the Scripture, and I want to, if we say that we live a life that's free from sin, I need to know where that's found in the Scripture. I need to know why that, because somebody can twist you up, well, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what you're saying, you're pure, you're holy? I need to have that understanding. Well, you know, you struggle with some things, and as you're struggling with those things, maybe we're not quite being honest. And so therefore, you know, you can take a little acorn and put it beside a foundation that's a solid foundation. And what's going to happen over the course of years is that's watered and it grows into a tree. You've got volunteer trees around here, around your places that you have to cut down, right? You have to cut down. Why do you have to cut them down? You have to cut them down because if you allow them to grow, they will damage your foundation. And the very thing that you've built, you come to an understanding that this thing, I've got to do some repairs. So it's the same thing with ideas. You know how the Scripture says that captivate every thought to the obedience of Christ? Yes. You know why it says the thought, philosophy, the way that you think, the process, all of these things have to be captivated in some kind of a way, and then you have to examine them while they're in the prison and then allow them to go out one way or the other, to discard them or let them roll over in your mind, because this is why it's saying it, because those thoughts can have something to do with where you are tomorrow. Where you are 5 years from now, where you are 10 years. Well, how did that happen to that person? What happened? The Scripture says in one place they did run well. But what happened to you? What hindered you? Well, a little thought, a little philosophy, something that somebody just dropped down on the side and we didn't deal with it. We didn't touch it. But we looked at it every now and then and we saw it growing beside our foundation. And all of a sudden it was there and that foundation was broken and it was going into the sewer pipes and it was doing a whole lot of damage that now I don't even know. I just need to start all over. Tear the house down and start all over, we say. Lord, help us. All right. So he reasoned out of the Scriptures. That's what I want to say. If I were to say, give instruction to young ministers and young people, memorize as many Scriptures as you can. We do it in Sunday school, but memorize as many Scriptures. When you get as old as I am, it's hard to remember them. And you get pieces of them and all that, and you understand, but you got to look them up and read them, memorize them, and ask the Lord to bless you in your mind, because those are the things, because you're coming against something much stronger than what I had to deal with, and what us older ministers will have to deal with. You're going to be dealing with something much stronger than that. Our world is changing exponentially. There is change everywhere. There's change. There's a redefinition of a gender. It used to be how many genders did we used to have? Two. Now how many do we have? Two. We still have two. But my grandchildren don't know that. Well, you know, I find it very interesting. Speaking of that, I find it very interesting. If you go to Genesis, the first chapter where it talks about, and God created them what? Male and female. Why did he say that? We've never thought about that, have we? But God saw today. When those scriptures were written, God saw today, and this is why he said that. Oh, Brother Daryl, that sounds old fogey. Y'all are so behind the times over there at that church. Y'all just don't have a clear understanding. You know, we have our governor in California is being recalled. You know who's running for governor as a conservative? Huh? Bruce Jenner. As a conservative. If y'all don't know who Bruce Jenner is, look him up. Google him. I'm not even going to talk about it right now, but Google him. Google him. All right. Okay. All right, let's go a little further here. I'm going to try to get through all of this. Acts the 26th chapter, and I want to start at the 22nd verse. Acts 26, verse 22.
Having therefore obtained help of God,
yes,
I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses said.
You see what he's saying? He says, I've witnessed and I haven't brought in my own ideas. I just told you what the prophets and Moses have said. So he's going by the scripture here, which is what we need to go by. The scripture can defend the scripture. Scripture can defend itself. And we have to have an understanding of what the argument is, that the power of persuasion, presenting the scripture and having a clear understanding of what scripture says about a particular thing, that's where the authority is, all right? Read. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that rise from the dead,
and should show light unto the people
and to the Gentiles.
And as he thus spake of himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning has made thee mad.
So in other words, what he's saying, you are crazy. That makes no sense whatsoever. You are crazy. Much learning has made you beside yourself. This is really what he's saying in our language. Paul, stop right there. All right, read.
But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner.
So in other words, you know about this. Just like Paul said, just like the Lord said when he met Paul on the road to Damascus. You know what happened with what the Lord said to Paul? He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? You know what that means? That means I've been talking to you about it. When you were stoning Stephen and the coach were there at his feet and you were going to Damascus, there was something in your heart that knew what those folks over there were talking about. You know it was true. You know it was right. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? And Paul had to he said, who art thou, Lord? Who are you? Because you're talking to me. You're speaking to me. That's that. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So what we have to understand is the Lord is talking to the people that we're going to talk to. He's talked to them first. He's dealt with their hearts before we ever got there. Now what we have to do is understand that. So this is what Paul is saying to him. Oh, you know about it, King. You heard about it. You meditated on it. You know what we're saying is true. And let me say this to anybody today that says, you know what? These folks under this little tabernacle, this open air thing, them is old fogey folks. But let me tell you what's happened. You know that these people got something. That's why you're here. You know that there's something about them. I don't know what it is. I don't really want to live like this. But there's something about those folks that's right. Yes. Let me tell you, that's why I'm here. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't there. You think I'd be afraid to leave? I wouldn't be afraid to leave. I'd be one of the first ones to go. But I know there is something here. I know that there is something that the Lord, there is a purity in doctrine, a purity in what God wants to do. And it's just not about you. It's a personal relationship that I have with the Lord. I've been fully persuaded. You don't have to convince me. You don't have to say, oh, Brother Dear, are you? Well, you done gone out there to California. Ooh, is he still saved? Yes. Well, you know how them Californians are. Californians are saved and sanctified just like Missourians, Kansans, and Texans, and everybody else. We love the Lord just like everybody else does. So you don't have to worry about me. Pray for me. But don't worry about me. Because you know why? Because I'm persuaded. The Lord persuaded me. It's not something that I'm coerced to do. I'm forced to do this because, well, you know, that's what the saints teach, so that's what I got to do. No! Lord, help us. Amen. All right. So he says here, O noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth these things. You know about them. Before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. It wasn't just something that somebody I heard about. You knew, you saw it. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?
I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost.
You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Paul made a good argument, didn't he? He presented the facts. He presented the experience. He presented the history of it. You know all about it. He spoke to what was going on in that very king's heart. That's why he was almost persuaded. But he was just rebellious. I don't want to do it right now. Let me tell you, let's go to another one. Because there is really never, and you're in sin, there's never a convenient time. The best time is now. So if you're here today and then you're waiting for the convenient time, let's go to the next one. We're going to read 24th chapter of Acts, 24th verse. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess,
he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness.
He's talking. This is a dialogue here. And the gospel is a dialogue. What I'm giving you today is a dialogue. So when we stand up here and we minister, it's a dialogue. I know that there are some rebuttals that some people have, and then the Lord speaks to those rebuttals, doesn't he? You can rebut what I'm saying, and then the Lord speaks to you, but you already know what it is. All right, go a little further.
And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.
Let me tell you, there's never a more convenient time than right now. If you do not know the Lord today, tomorrow's not promised to you. And the most convenient time for you to give your heart to the Lord is right now. Oh, Brother Darrell, you just don't understand what I'm dealing with. I know you've got a lot of things that are quite inconvenient right now. Well, if I get saved, I got to move out with my girlfriend. Well, the Lord will bless you. Ask one of the saints. They'll let you stay with them for a while. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We have children together and all these kind of things. It's just not convenient for me to do it right now. I don't know what your situation is. No, it's not convenient. It probably isn't. But let me tell you, the most convenient it'll ever be is right now. There'll never be a more convenient time. Well, when I get all my ducks in a row, then I'm going to get there. But let me tell you, when you get all them ducks in a row, there's going to be some more that you got to pick up and put in a row as well. So just go ahead and do it now. If you're not saved today, the most convenient time for you to give your heart to the Lord is right now. You don't even have to wait till I get through preaching. You can come down to the altar right now and talk to the Lord. The Lord will meet you there because he's already talking to you, isn't he? He's already speaking to your heart. He's already saying that there's something that I've been talking about. And you know what that brother up there, he doesn't know anything about your life. He doesn't know anything about your history. He doesn't know anything about what you're dealing with. But you know he's saying something. You know what he's saying is what the Lord has already said to me. Lord, help us. Yeah. All right. Almost finished. Romans 4, verse 20.
He staggered not.
This is talking about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God.
Of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Giving glory to God.
And being fully persuaded. That what he had promised.
That what he had promised.
He was able also to perform.
Let me say this to saints and sinners alike. The Lord does not want you to just walk through blind faith. He wants to persuade you. He wants to show you. And so what Abraham did, the Lord said, I'm going to give you a son about this time. And Abraham, we're 100 years old. How are you going to do that? Sarah was saying. But Abraham did not stagger at the promise. And so what we have to understand, we've got to be fully persuaded in our mind for us to do something. And I'm finding out that sometimes where we find ourselves, we're in situations and circumstances that we're not fully persuaded. And I'm just kind of a little reticent. I'm just... Brother Darrell, I just don't quite know. I don't quite know what to do. And I've been in situations where people think I believe in stepping out on faith, right? I believe if the Lord tells you to do something, and I say this because people have said, I don't know if I could have done what you did and going to California and all this or the different places that I said, you know what? I was telling somebody, I said, you know what? The things that I've done for the Lord, I've never had money to do them. The Lord's always taking care of us. You know, some people, well, when I get so much money in the bank, if I did that, I wouldn't have anything. But when you start walking, this is what I say. This is how I do it. I'm saying, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Is this how you want me to do it? And then I start going in that direction. And the Lord begins to open up the doors. And if he doesn't open up the doors, I don't push him open. But I just keep walking. But have you ever gone to Walmart? And you walk to Walmart and the doors are automatic doors and you got to get in the beam of it, right? And it opens. You don't have to go and push it open, but it opens. Once you get in the beam of it, it opens, right? And so this is how you walk in faith. You say, Lord, is this where you don't take off running, but you be fully persuaded in your mind, the Lord took care of me this time last year when I did something. He's going to take care of me now. And so I walk, and then the door opened, and then I walk through it, and then another door opens, and I walk through it. I never get on and beat the door and say, Lord, surely you're the one that told me to do this. Lord doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in my life. I don't know. Maybe it works in somebody else's life like that, but not mine. All right, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able also to perform. All right, a couple other scriptures and we'll be done. I appreciate your patience. Romans 8, verse 35.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine,
or nakedness,
or peril,
or sword?
As it is written,
for thy sake,
we are killed.
Now, I want to stop there for a moment because it said, who shall separate us from the love of God? And then it talks about things. It's like, why didn't it say what? What shall separate us? But let me tell you, when there's these things, these persecutions, these distresses, there's generally a person behind them. And so when we get upset, we don't get just upset at the circumstances. We get upset at the people who brought the circumstances about. So I'm upset at such and such, and I'm not speaking to my brother because of what he did to me and all these kinds of things. So it says, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? So all of these tribulations, and it says, in the other place it says, who did hinder you from obeying the truth? Who did it? You know, a brother that was saved in Dallas. He had come off the street and he had he just walked in the church one day and he stayed. The Lord talked to his heart. He got saved. He passed away. But you know what he would say? And this is a person that does not have a Church of God background. Okay? He probably was with us for 10 years and he was in his 60s or 70s when he died. And so he's probably with us 10 years or so. And you know what he would stand up and say? Just little nuggets of wisdom. He said, people backslide together. He said, generally when there's a backsliding, there's a group of people that go in another direction. It's not just one person. It's a lot of people. Now, where did he get that from? But I've seen that. So when we say, what shall cause me to pull away because of the things that are going on in my life, the things that are hard, the things that are difficult, is that what's going to cause me to go away? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, what does it say? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, or depth, or any other creature shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, it did not say that these things can't do it. It says that I'm not going to let them do it. So you've got to be fully persuaded in your mind that I'm not going to let anything. Let me tell you, there are some folks that I've had great confidence, that we've all had great confidence in, that are not saved today as a result that they were not fully persuaded that these things that are coming against them wasn't going to separate them from the Lord. Let me tell you, none of us are in heaven yet. None of us are. The devil has a plan. He's still got a plan for you to get you to trip over before you get right at the pearly gates, where you'll fall right before you get there. He's got a plan for that. But let me tell you what you got to do. You got to be fully persuaded. You got to be persuaded in your own mind. You got to have an understanding that, Lord, by your grace, I've been convinced that this is right and this is the way that I want to go. I want to say this too. There was a situation in Dallas not too long ago where a man that was in, I think he was 25 years old, but he went back to high school and pretended that he was like a senior. And he was on the basketball team. And he was very good. I mean, he had a few more years than the other folks did, right? And they were winning all this stuff. And then one of the coaches on another team that they were beating said, hey, wait a minute. This guy graduated 7 or 8 years ago. Now, why would somebody do that? Go and play with somebody your own size, your own age. Go to college. Go get to pros and talk to them. Don't try to do a high school, try to beat the high school team. But do you know that this is what some people are doing spiritually? Well, you know what? They have a deeper understanding than everybody around them, and they just feel like they're the pro here. Let me tell you. They're the pro here because they have a deeper understanding, but you're playing on the high school team. The Lord wants you to do something more than that. And the Lord's going to hold you accountable. What did they do? I don't know what they did with the guy. Obviously, they got him off the team. He couldn't do it. I don't know if they prosecuted him or something. Oh, I don't know what they did. But let me tell you, if the Lord has given you this level of understanding, you can't live here. You can't do it. Now, but Brother Darrell, all these folks are saved. They are good and solid saints. I believe that. But you're living there, and the Lord's giving you this level of understanding. So, yeah, you're the big champion. You're the big champion on the team. Lord, help us. I'm going to leave that with you and let you deal with it however the Lord says for you to deal with it. All right, I'm going to read a couple other scriptures. 1 Peter 3:15. And someone get us Romans 14:5. I think we've already quoted that. But 1 Peter 3:15.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts.
Sanctify the Lord God in your
and
hearts.
Be ready always,
and be ready always
to give an answer
to, give an answer
to every man,
to every
that,
man
asketh you a reason
that asketh you the
of
reason
the hope,
of
that,
the
is
hope
in you,
that is in
with
you
meekness
with
and
meekness
fear.
And fear. So you need to be ready. So what does that mean? I'm going to have to do some preparation. When it talks about getting ready, I have to do some preparation to be able to give somebody an answer of the reason that I believe like I believe. The reason that I don't do the things that I do. I don't know why we don't do it. That's just what I've been taught. That's what the saints say, so I don't do it. What kind of answer is that? How long is that going to stand up? It's not going to stand up very long. This is why some people just can push you over. Well, that don't make no sense. What the saints see, then, well, you need to know why. Be ready to give an answer of why you believe what we believe. Why you're persuaded that what you're living is right. Lord, help us. All right. One other scripture, Romans 14, verse 5. And I'm just taking a portion of the scripture. I want you to just, the part that I want you to understand is let every man be fully persuaded. Yes. Another seem every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded.
His own mind.
In his own mind. So I want to say this to you. The power of persuasion is greater than the power of force. And I want every man here, you, all of us, I want us to be clear in what the Lord has. I want us to understand that the purpose of preaching and teaching is to lay out an argument and to prove the point. Through scripture, through history, through experience, is ultimately to convince the audience of the truth of the gospel. God is a reasonable and a reasoning God. All right? Sharing the gospel is to persuade through reasonable dialogue for someone to believe the truth. You know, the scripture says in one place, Romans talks about, he says, Romans 1, 12 and 1, what does that say? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, thank you, which is what? Reasonable. He's reasonable. The Lord's never asked you to do anything that's unreasonable. It may seem like to the world is unreasonable for you to be such a, so restricted, we may say, or whatever. You know, the Olympics is going on, getting ready to go on right now. You know those people have restricted diets. There are certain things that they don't do. There are certain things that they do. There are certain things that they get disqualified with. As a result of something that they do that they may have liberty to do, but there are some things also that they have issues that they're not going to perform at their best level if they don't restrict their diet. So in the same way, what I want to say to us, if there's going to be some things that we're going to have to restrict our diet for, and that's just what y'all old fogey people are talking about. Y'all think I don't hear that kind of stuff? Of course we do. But am I persuaded in my own mind that this is the way the Lord would have me to live? I just happen to be one of those people that I'm not just doing it because the saints are telling me to do it. I'm doing it because the Lord's persuaded me in my own mind that this is the best. And my history, the history has shown it. And I've watched people that have done it differently. And I'm not impressed at all, not even a little bit. And so I'm looking at their lives and my lives and all the freedoms and whatnot that they have. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? I have a really boring life. I have one wife. I have two children, and I know that's all I've got. My life is boring, gloriously boring. Why? Because I did it this way, and all the restrictions. And let me tell you, I want to say one other thing. If you're going to have any kind of relationship, there's restrictions in that relationship. In order to have it, you can't have other relationships. And so in the same way, what we have to understand, and I'm not here just supporting our position, I want you to be fully persuaded in your own mind. I want you to know it for yourself. It's not all about what they say or what the saints say and all that. You need to know this for yourself. You know, one of the wonderful things that I saw when the young people were coming up here, that's the church. Church, arise. You need to know why you do this. Well, why do the saints do this? Ask. When you don't agree, it's okay not to agree. It's okay, and let me tell you, but you have to be honest with yourself too. You've got to be honest with the Lord, because there are going to be some things that the Lord tells you that you don't want to hear. There are some things that the Lord told me that I didn't want to hear, still don't want to hear, still have a fight in me that I'm going to do it, Lord, not because this is what I want to do, but because I know it's what's best for me. So I want to say that to our young people. I want to say that to the old people. I want to say it to those of you that the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. I know He's speaking to somebody's heart. And He's already told you what Brother Darrell is saying is true. And Brother Darrell don't know anything about your history. He doesn't know anything about what you're going through. But God knows. And I want to say this to us, saying, while we're here in this meeting, during this time, let the Lord talk to you. Yes. Go home. Go to your bed and say, Lord, okay, why? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? And the Lord will talk to you. The Lord will talk to you. And that way it won't be coming from me. It won't be coming from the ministry. It'll be coming from God. And then now you deal with God. You deal with God about it. Because that's what I tell. You know what I tell people? And I say this too. And I really am trying to set down. Let people live where they are. If they're not there yet, it's okay. If you're not there yet, you don't have to look like Brother Darrell just to get saved tonight. It's okay if you look a little different, if those kinds of things happen. But let me tell you, you've got to be open to what the Lord's going to show you and what the Lord's going to tell you, and you've got to be honest about it. Well, Lord, the Lord didn't show that to me, so therefore, but you know what? Let me tell you something. Sometimes the Lord do tell people, tell ministers what to tell you. I want us to be careful about that, though, okay? I want us as ministers and as people, because we can offend people. But here's what happens. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus? The Lord's sitting there talking to him, standing there talking to Paul. He revealed himself to Paul. Well, this came from the Lord. You know? Well, but the Lord said, all right, now, Paul, I want somebody to lead you. I want these men that you're the leader. Now I want you to be led, and I want you to go to Ananias. I'm going to tell him what to tell you. Sometimes the Lord does that, doesn't he? But the Lord told Paul to go to Ananias. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful what we say and what we do. Let the Lord tell that person to go to that. And whatever you tell me, Pastor, I'm gonna do it by the help and the grace of God. And pastors, when we have the empathy and we understand what they're dealing with and what they're going through, and we clearly understand that, then we'll say it in the right way. We'll say it in the right way. May the Lord help us. Pray for me. My trust is that you'd be fully persuaded.